2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, we got the Domination Station where you can build up to 150 lineups in one click, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the Slack Chat channel where you could chat with me, Bear, Keith, and everybody else in the DFS Army. I didn't feel like saying everybody's name, just a couple today. But once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Shy Moshe at Mr. Bear here. Mr. Bear, it is Friday. It is, I don't even want to say a glorious day because it's actually snowing right now in Jersey. But I had to ask you, since you're a Cali guy, are you a fan of the Raiders or the 49ers by any chance?
I'm a pretty big Raiders fan, and we got the short end of the stick today.
Did, right. All right, I'm glad. This is not even planned out. I just had to ask you the question, though, because it actually ties into me. I'm a huge Buccaneers fan. So John Lynch, the former player of John Gruden, with the Super Bowl-winning Buccaneers there, actually got the better of him in that coin flip. So now the Niners are picking ninth, the Raiders are picking tenth.
It's such a crapshoot in that draft, man. I don't even know. We might look at this in 4 years from now and say, "Wow, Raiders got lucky; they got 10th and picked that guy over that guy." You don't know.
They did, folks. You did not stumble onto the NFL podcast. That was just a glorious opening that you had to put up with. How'd you do last night in the NBA, Bear?
So I followed my own advice, and
which has been outstanding lately, by the way.
Thank you. And I completely didn't play Whiteside in a single lineup in any format on any site because, like I was saying earlier, that I just didn't like the pace. And I know, Al, you mentioned some other games where he did well in the pace, which is fine. I just think that because – so when you're looking at the overall pace, you have to factor in the Lakers are significantly faster paced when Lonzo is the starting point guard. Mm-hmm. And over the last 10 games, he's only played a handful and – actually two before yesterday, and those two he didn't even start, and he didn't even get his full minutes. So the pace went down. You saw yesterday that game was so up and down the court. It's fun to watch. It's like,
what was it, the 130 points or the 115 on the other side?
That's what I'm saying. And even if you don't look at the score, you just see the ball just constantly up and down the court, not stopping. That's what concerned me about Whiteside, and we've all seen many times before where he just can't do it. He can't keep up. And so to answer your question, so I went Embiid in cash, and I missed the cash lines by like 0.3 or something like that because of a Linux dud, which I know everybody feels the pain on a Linux game yesterday.
I avoided a Linux, just not Whiteside. And
yeah, well, you couldn't do both. So, that makes sense. But the good news is I hedged in tournaments like you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And I played Cat in tournaments.
Oh, boy.
And I played Adebayo. And I played Kuzma. And I played Isaiah Thomas. And I played Damian Lillard. And I played Justin Winslow. So in the big monster – not the monster. The 7-7-7 tournament on FanDuel.
Sure.
I finished like – 90th place.
Very nice.
And that made, that pretty much made my profit there.
Cool. Yeah, I was not so lucky last night, but what are you going to do? Even on the late slate, things did not go as planned for me, but,
You played late?
I did the Nets were on it, so I didn't have any on the main slate. I had to get some kind of exposure, and D'Angelo did okay. But Jared Allen, that was my knight in shining armor. I was in the small rebound. I was just looking at it, And I was the only person with Jared Allen in that contest.
You're kidding.
No.
How many players? How many entries?
49. 49 in that one.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, I know people know about the Nets by now, but Jared Allen, he's still a hidden treasure.
I'm wondering if that means you're the only Nets fan in that tournament.
Oh, absolutely. With that, I'm like the only Nets fan probably on FanDuel in general. So
What did he hit, like 6X?
I wasn't even in the running to win, so I didn't even take a look. But I believe he had
31.2.
I know for a fact he had 15 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 blocks. So
yeah, 31.2 FanDuel points, and looks like he was at 5.5K.
Going toe-to-toe with Willie.
Yeah, pretty damn close. Yeah. Like a point away. I mean, Cat took over everyone, but.
What are you going to do? All right, loaded slate up here tonight. We got a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
Right now, we got a lot to talk about. Any situations we got to look out for beforehand?
Yeah, that's kind of daily life in DFS, right?
Yeah.
So a couple things to monitor. You want to go over real quick the injury news, and then I'll real quick cover the ramifications?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. So, by the way, before we do individual injuries, I just want to say Philadelphia tonight, back in of a back-to-back. They had that primetime game last night. This is going to be a stretch that goes back to their fifth game in 7 days. So take a look out for that. You've got Washington going up against Toronto tonight. Now, not on a back end of a back-to-back or anything like that, but this is their first game after a 5-7 stretch. So, you know, if we're getting technical about it, it's a 3-4, 4-6. But, again, they're still a fatigued team. Minnesota on the back end of a back-to-back. They played at Portland last night. Now they're going to the second highest altitude. I don't even know how I'm going to say it. Altituded city in America for basketball teams. So, you know, it's not exactly going to be an easy night for them tonight. On the good end of things, the Knicks have had 3 days off before tonight's game.
Yeah.
The Bulls have had 2 days off before tonight's game. And I believe there was somebody else. Oh, yeah, it was Denver. They had 2 days off before tonight's game. But they are playing in Cleveland tomorrow night, so. Not as glorious. All right. Oh, and I'm sorry, Utah as well. 3 days off before tonight's game, but they do play in Sacramento tomorrow night. All right.
And Utah gets a very tired Minnesota team.
Indeed, indeed. Okay. Yeah, that's a significant thing right there. Let's talk about that real quick. Minnesota, yeah. Back in back-to-back. Utah, 3 full days rest coming into tonight. Hey, Dom.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. That's my number one play so far for tournaments is Donovan Mitchell. But I mean, they're not going to be able to stop the guy, and it's going to be very difficult. You know, we have Cat projected at, like, over 30 minutes, and we know Thibodeau doesn't give a crap about your petty, tired legs.
No.
So he's just going to run you to the ground, which, I mean, you know, I get it. He's got a – for example, they just released or bought out Shabazz Muhammad. And listen, he's not a good player. I mean, he'll kick our butts, but I mean, in terms of NBA, you know, level goes, he's probably the bottom feeder in terms of defense per minute. He's probably
Ponstone.
He's horrible at defense. His defensive stats. He's an average at best shooter if you're in a good mood. He's not a really good passer, but he was on the bench, and there were times where I'm like, dude. Wiggins is in the game for 38 minutes. Like, put in Muhammad for, like, 6 and let this guy breathe. You're going to ruin his career.
Yeah.
And he won't do it. Not going to do it.
Muhammad has put up, you know, like, 20 fantasy points at times at absolute min price. I mean, he's a guy that could at least be serviceable. You're absolutely right. But, no, Thibodeau, run. Yeah. Like,
that's a pretty good impression, dude.
Yeah,
thank you. That's pretty spot on right there.
Well, you know what it is. When you watch a Timberwolves game, if you really listen in the background, you'll hear some of the scariest screams of your entire life. Those are Tom Thibodeau's.
I don't think you have to even really hear. I think it comes into the mic.
You feel it at home on your couch.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so we've got those situations. And, by the way, Taj Gibson, questionable for tonight. We both think that he's not going to play tonight, so that could open it up for the gorgeous one.
The gorgeous one.
All right, so let's talk about individual injuries here. So we just got – we'll go from most recent. We just got word down the info pipeline that Sean Livingston is going to sit out tonight in Atlanta. I mean, already a great matchup for every single Warrior player wearing a jersey tonight, but I don't think there's any immediate impact, do you?
For Livingston? Let me see. Who are they playing? No, I mean, the only – So the only impact Livingston out would have for me would be that potential second unit for the Hawks, because Livingston's a really good defender, man.
He
puts the clanks on, you're screwed. So, you know, looking at a guy like a Delaney if he plays, or our favorite guy that we talk about every single time.
Yes, Mr. Dorsey.
Yeah, Dorsey. Won't get that defense. Maybe. It's possible. But we're talking about, you know, large field tournament kind of thing.
I like that kind of next level thinking right there. So let's go to Phoenix, because TJ Warren, it is confirmed he is starting tonight.
Yep.
Tyson Chandler will be out with a neck injury. So, all right, this could set the stage for another helping of Len minutes, but let's keep in mind he's going up against one of the best centers, one of the best defensive slash rebounding centers in the NBA in Steven Adams. You know, I think that obviously the Chandler injury, you know, Len's the beneficiary there, but it's not a situation that I absolutely need to be in, especially on a massive slate like this.
Man, I can't. I can't play Len against Steven Adams.
Okay, all right.
It's not. So about that game. Take a look real quick at the last three point guards to go up against Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Smith Jr.
Right.
Put up over 30.
Okay.
DJ Augustine put up 32.
I like it.
And Steph lit him up for 47.8.
Nice.
And then, you know, even though Tyreek Evans is a shooting guard on FanDuel, but he's their point guard, he put up 47.3, and he's been in a horrible slump. Mm. So just throwing it out there, I think it makes Elf somewhat of an intriguing play.
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I got backup numbers on top. I got backup data on top of that data.
Backup on top of backup. Let's have at it.
Oh, well, I thought we were going to wait for point guards, but... Let's wait for point guards.
We got to tease it.
We got to tease it a little bit.
You got it.
All right. The other thing, Norman Powell, probably going to be the starter. Ananobi listed as doubtful for tonight. So that's going to probably put Norman Powell in the starting lineup. Now, he's going to be min price everywhere. I haven't even checked, but I just know because he's been irrelevant for so long. But we have seen Powell be somebody at times in this Raptors lineup. Would you take the chance on him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. First of all, let's confirm that he's starting and it's not him. But a couple ways I would attack this news. First thing, he talks about next level. I'm trying to do that for the members, because it's easier to say, oh, well, if this guy's out and this guy's starting, I'm going to play that starter, which is fine. Not a bad thing. But look at the other side of the matchup. OG is one of the best defenders in the league on the perimeter. We've already established that. OG defense is a real thing. We preach it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to fade Bradley Beal because of it.
Oh.
He's no longer there to guard Bradley Beal. That puts Bradley Beal in the upper echelon for me.
Interesting.
Because
go ahead.
The pace of the game, he'll have either DeRozan or Powell, probably DeRozan, on him. DeRozan is not a poor defender by any stretch, but he doesn't scare me like OG does in terms of defense.
Sure.
So that's how I'm looking at that injury news. And then you can play Powell. I don't mind. But on the flip side of that, I would probably look, if you're going to play Powell in cash games, because he'll probably be uber chalky if he starts.
Mm-hmm.
In tournaments, you might want to look at a guy like CJ Miles, because now he's going to get more run.
Sure.
And CJ Miles, I mean, it's going to be a fast-paced game, not the fastest on the slate, but you've got the Warriors and Suns and Thunder on the slate, so that, you know, you're not going to beat those guys. But it's not bad, so I like that as well.
See, Bear, this is why I love your mind, because it's not necessarily the direct news. It's like the news behind the news a little right there. So I love that thinking there. All right, one more just, you know, brief situation before we break it down position by position. But Jermichael Green listed as questionable tonight with an illness. Now, you know, at least it's not like a body sprain or something like that. So if he gets his system cleaned out, should be all right. But if he's not, then I get Jarrell Martin would probably be the direct beneficiary here, correct?
Yeah, no, and he's a guy you have to play. If Jermichael Green, but you know, I think the NBA is coding that illness for tanking. I mean, that's probably what it means.
Okay.
Let's keep it real. I mean, come on. The guy just came back from injury. He's been playing really well. They're shorthanded. Tyreke Evans is not playing. You know, Wayne Seldon has been out for a really long time. He's coming back today, by the way. If he plays, I like that play a lot. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Memphis also tonight going for the illustrious feat of losing their 12th in a row.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them.
By the way, we were talking about tanking right there. Have you seen tankathon.com?
I did.
That's a free plug, folks. I'm just saying, if you ever want to sponsor the DFS Daily Dispatch, big fan of the site. Loving the mock draft. I'm a big fan of mock drafts, so got it. All right, that's gonna do it for the opening here. You know, with all the injury news, let's break it down position by position. Bear, as they like to say in the industry, pod is now. All right, Russell Westbrook leading off the point guard position this evening. Now, he's averaged 67 on DK, 66 on FD over the last 10 games against the Suns. Now, what's also interesting is we know that Russell Westbrook has a great history against the Orlando Magic, and we know who the point guard used to be there for the Orlando Magic. He is now the Suns' point guard, Elfrid Payton. So he's done very well here. And again, too, it's the Suns. OKC absolutely needs a win. I'm going to find it very difficult to not have Russell Westbrook in my lineup tonight.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, Andrew Harrison just put up a 43.5 on them. Damian Lillard put up a 58.5 on them. I mean, now we know Westbrook is, you know, I love Dame. He's one of my favorite players. But, you know, talking about Russell freaking Westbrook. So, I don't see, particularly in cash, he's under 12K now, which for his numbers recently, he should probably be a little bit lower than 11.9. But I think this is absolutely a game where he can get to 65. I don't want to say easily, but I can definitely see it.
Yeah, for sure. Again, you know, you've seen OKC struggle here. They need some wins right now. That Western Conference playoff race is absolutely no joke. So, again, you think, it might be a blowout with the Suns. Not so fast, my friends. You know, now they're a little different now with Elf Payton, Devin Booker, T.J. Warren in the mix there. So they got some guys that can come back at them on offense.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a situation where Russ slows down by any means. So we talked about Elf Payton on the other side of this matchup already. All right, now these are his last three games against OKC. He goes for, we'll just say, 53, 54 on DK and FD. And then that second one, he goes for 43 on DK and 47 on FD. In the middle of those, there was one performance, but, you know, it was like late in the season, and I'm not gonna really go at him on that one. But those are two big performances there against OKC. He's definitely capable of doing it. He looks good here in Phoenix. You know, he's one of the main guys now. I guess you could probably say that he takes on more of a scoring role since in Orlando he also had to share the court with Aaron Gordon, Nikola Vucevic. So, you know, now it's him, Booker, and TJ Warren.
Don't forget Fournier.
Yes, indeed. I was just going with the guys down low, you know, because Phoenix going with not necessarily a threat loves. Down there.
Because the coach, Vogel, loves him some Fournier, man. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Oh, my goodness. But, I think Elf is a good play. I think, 7,200, I think a lot of people are going to probably shy away because they're going to think, oh, he can't compete with both Russell or Westbrook, which, let's be honest, he probably can't. But in terms of value, in terms of the numbers that Al, you just threw out it there, and the last handful of games the point guards have been doing against the Thunder, I can get behind Elfrid Payton. I can even go behind Russ and Payton in your lineup as point guard and go from there.
Now, I did promise the folks today just a little while ago that I am going to be more proactive on the DK side of things today. This wasn't, you know, necessarily like the people coming up to the tower demanding that we get FD or DK info, but I definitely see a benefit in it and seeing if there's any, you know, pricing anomalies here. Bear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, all right, cut out for a sec. So I wanted to check out here where Elf Payton is on DraftKings, and here's the beauty of it: 6,800 over there. I mean, he's just one of the best value plays on the board right now, as far as I'm concerned, at that price. And then
what's the price again?
6,800 on DraftKings.
That's pretty good.
Indeed, indeed. And then I believe FanDuel 7,300.
72.
All right. So little less. Now, again, keep in mind, folks, I did unsurface some very good value plays here for DK. So you know,
yeah.
Stay tuned for that. All right. Who else are we liking at point guard?
So let's focus a little more on the cash side of things, because there's all kinds of tournament plays. For me, the tournament plays are going to come at the bottom. We'll look at those. But a guy that I like a lot. So we know that Giannis Antetokounmpo is questionable. If he sits, it makes Eric Bledsoe a must play for me.
We got, by the way, in a Kupo, this is probable 2 hours ago.
Yep. So let's monitor that. He's got the word freak in his nickname, so he's probably going to play. Injuries don't bother him, but just something to monitor. So I like that. And then I really like in the matchup for Jamal Murray versus Memphis. Memphis has been bleeding points to everyone. It's going to be where they're playing. They're playing at Memphis. So I like Jamal Murray a little bit more at home. But he's under 7K now. He hasn't been playing poorly at all. I've been waiting for that game where he breaks out again. It's been a while. And I'm hoping it's here. He definitely has the matchup for it. So I like Jamal Murray. I'm just going to look at some information here. Yeah, it looks like not torching, but it looks like point guards have done pretty well against Memphis. So,
One guy I really want to take a look at today, Dennis Smith Jr., going up against a fellow young point guard here. Done, not a rookie, second-year guy. But, again, you know what's interesting? And I've kind of noticed this with a couple people in the NBA that, all right, you know, as a young player, you're probably going to struggle going up against a vet like you know, we'll just talk about point guards here for Dennis Smith Jr. I know he did pretty well against Russell Westbrook, but you're also going against the caliber of, like, Stephen Curry, Damian Lillard, guys like that on a nightly basis in the Western Conference. When you get a matchup like Chris Dunn, that's a huge disgrade, or a huge disgrade, a huge downgrade right there. So, I've noticed, like, Jared Allen last night against Willie Cauley-Stein. I know it's a different position, but, again, I think that there is something to this thing where, like, the similarity in the ages of some of these players. So, two young point guards are going against each other, trying to make a name for themselves. We could see fireworks.
Well, I think Dennis Smith Jr. is a fantastic player versus the Bulls. He's also on a game rest, or a day's rest, rather. He's at 6,200. I mean, for me, at that price range right now, it's between three players. Dennis Smith Jr., Austin Rivers versus the Knicks, and Ish Smith versus the Magic. Within that low 6K range, those are my three faves.
You mentioned Ish Smith. I like him. I love him on DraftKings over there. There's a $1,000 price difference between the two. So, yeah, Ish Smith on DraftKings, only 5,300 in a fantastic matchup against the Orlando Magic.
Lock and load.
See, DraftKings, folks, right off the bat, I'm looking at you guys. You know, this partnership is going to be great.
Can we get some swag, please?
What are we getting?
Can we get some swag from this?
Some DK swag? Well, I got to say this. I mean, well, let me put it like it, this is still going to be a FanDuel centric podcast. We're like when I say, you know, we're going to show special favoritism towards DK today. I meant, you know, we're going to drop in some here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Got to sell it well.
Still want my swag.
Sure, sure. All right, other... all right, the Ish Smith one. What were the other two you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers, yes, big fan.
And, well, Dennis Smith Jr., we talked about.
And Dennis Smith Jr., too. Speaking of Austin Rivers, I like some... I like a lot of guys in that game. You got Emmanuel Mudiay, Trey Burke. Even Milos Teodosic could be something.
Yep.
4,300 on FanDuel, 45 on DK. Now, the Clippers are favored in that game pretty heavily. I believe the 8.5-point favorite. So, it probably bodes better for the Clippers in this one. But again, we've seen what Mudiay and Burke have been doing. This is not a tough defensive matchup.
No, it's not. And I think Mudiay is probably one of my top tournament plays. 5,100. So there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, the Clippers are not very good at guarding the guards. I mean, we've been through this all year. They're just not very good. I mean, there was a time where their DVP looked really good, and we didn't understand why. And frankly, I still don't really understand why. But they
passed on the eye test for me. On the eye test, they're green.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Teodosic is not the most athletic of guys, but Steph just put up a 68 on them. Kyrie put up a 45 on them. I mean, you know, we're not talking about Steph or Kyrie, but I think Mudiay is still at that point where he's got something to prove. He's going to be on the big stage in Los Angeles. Is that a national game? It's not.
No, man. If they put Clippers-Knicks on national TV, oh, man. The people would riot.
Well, I mean, you got the Jazz and the Timberwolves. The Jazz aren't the sexiest matchup, although Mitchell certainly makes them more fun to
playoff
watch.
Playoff implications, but,
baby. Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree. So I think Mudiay is definitely at 5,100. He'll play in the just right around the 30-minute range against a team that can't stop the point guard. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it a lot. There's two guys that I'm locking in from this game from the Knicks. We'll get to the second one at the shooting guard spot.
Now both guys will be on the Knicks, you're saying, that you're locking in?
That's correct.
Interesting. All right. Nice tease. A couple other guys I wanted to mention real quick. More GPP plays, but Steph Curry. It really doesn't have anything to do with the Livingston news, but, I mean, this matchup is fantastic.
It's butter.
It's Atlanta. I mean, going up against Golden State. Like, good luck, guys.
And for those of you worried about – I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Those of you worried about Bazemore guarding him, he's going to be on Clay. So he may even go on a little bit on Kevin Durant. So.
And again, the way that Golden State, you know, just rotates, and I don't think anybody's really going to be on anybody, you know, full time. It's just going to be everybody trying to guard everybody, and good luck, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Everybody love everybody. So now, all right, the reason I say GPP for Curry is because, again, Golden State could very well end this one in three quarters. He might not need it. But again, hey, look, we've seen some crazy shit happen in the NBA. We have. Putting a guy like Curry in cash against Atlanta. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, the other one I wanted to bring up, Kemba Walker. Now, he's seen a little bit of a price decrease. We did see him around $9,000 not too long ago. So, $7,800 on both sites for Kemba. So, this Sixers team isn't all that great. I'm so sorry. Point guards against the Sixers are not a great matchup. It's actually the worst matchup.
Yeah.
But you're catching the Sixers on the back end of a back-to-back. I believe they're even losing an hour, just because they played. I know they played – that game started at 8 o'clock last night. This one's going to start at 7 o'clock. It's not a time zone thing, but, again, they're losing an hour of normal rest. Kemba did post a little under 46 fantasy points in that last meeting against the Sixers. So he does have that history there working out for him. But, again, I just think that this could be a sneaky GPP play.
It could be sneaky. So there's some things that I'm going to point out I don't like which makes him a GPP only play.
Sure.
I don't like the pace of the game. Philly's their implied odds for the Hornets team is second lowest on the slate. second to the Wolves at 104, I think it is. 104.8 I got here. Even the Hawks are slated to score more than that. I don't like that. I like Kemba in pace games, obviously. Everybody does. So that's the first thing. You mentioned the matchup. The matchup's definitely not there. He's probably going to have to guard at some point. Gonna have to guard some of Ben Simmons. Although you'll probably see Batum on him some.
Yeah.
And we'll open up. You know, but what that means is, who's Kemba gonna guard?
Redick.
Maybe it could be, which makes Redick a decent play. Because Kemba's not a very good defender. Love you, Kemba, but you can't guard shit. So yeah, I mean, this interesting thing to think about. I almost look at this as a throwaway game, like a scheduled loss game, on the back to back. I don't see Philly winning the game. It might be close. I'm not saying it won't be close. I'm just saying I don't really like the matchup or the pace, and I think you're gonna have a significantly slower game than we're accustomed to seeing from these guys because of the back to back. And they also are coming off of a high of winning. Yep. Against the Cavs on TNT.
Very easy to come back down to earth tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, that was my thing for Kemba. I mean, now I knew that you had a nice call on Kyrie Irving a couple nights ago, and it was a very similar situation where Charlotte was coming in, you know, zombie walking on with their fifth game in 7 days. And mm-hmm. Again, I think it does take a toll on a team's defense when, you know, they have to play that many games in that many days. The funny thing is
I think Kemba also went off that game. They both did.
Last guy we mentioned, or actually we didn't mention, maybe we did, I don't know, I'm already losing my mind here, but Andrew Harrison is listed as questionable for tonight's game with the wrist injury. If he's out, you got to think Mario Chalmers is a nice option here, no?
So, first of all, Harrison at 7K, what planet, or what? No
yeah,
way.
He's playing well lately.
He is, but I'm not paying 7K for Andrew Harrison.
Absolutely.
I would rather play Ricky Rubio at 6,500 than play Andrew Harrison. Anyway, moving on. Or Chris Dunn, for that matter, at 6,700. But anyway, I mean, I think he might be interesting. I've got to see, number one, what they're going to do there with the starters. Last time they threw Ben McLemore in there, and that was because Seldon was out and whatever else, but then Tyreek, of course. But I don't mind Chalmers at all if Harrison does sit, but I think there are some other beneficiaries, which we'll get into.
Sure. Yeah, and again, you know, Wayne Seldon Jr. is going to be, or he is listed as probable for tonight. So.
Yeah, yeah.
There too for a minute.
So a couple of sneaky tournament plays. At 4,200, you've got Yogi Ferrell against the Bulls. He'll probably run that second unit's in terms of being the scorer for the second unit.
Sure.
Versus Chicago's second unit. I like that a lot. I think you can get a solid amount of points from him at 4,200. And then Frank the Tank, Neal Aquino, versus the Clippers. He's 3,700. And I know he doesn't put up a lot of points. But at that price, if you can get a 25 out of him, you're ecstatic. So, well, you're ecstatic if you get 50, but you're happy if you get 25. I mean, that's something to look at tournaments as well.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to pull up the DK price on Neal Aquino because he's got a nice value number here on FanDuel. So if he's going to be that cheap over there and be that. Come on, Neal Aquino. Where are you, buddy? Come out. There's so many names on the list. This is great radio, by the way, for the people.
Right.
Frank Milikina. Is he not even on DraftKings? This is upsetting. Anywho, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. You all go with point guards? Moving on to shooting guard?
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned at the top, Donovan Mitchell. He's Bears' favorite. He's also my favorite there. In his last game against the Timberwolves, he posted 45.5 on DK, 47.8 on FD, over 35 minutes. That was back on November 13th, but the situation is magnificent. We talked about it earlier. 3 days of rest for Utah coming into tonight's game. Minnesota on the back end of a back-to-back. everything's just setting up well here for Mitchell.
Yeah, there are three shooting guards that I love. The price, the matchup, all the above. Mitchell, Beal. Actually, I'm sorry, there's four. Mitchell, Beal, Hardaway Jr., and Will Barton.
Okay.
So we'll dive into all. So Mitchell, we talked about Minnesota being on a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. He'll probably match up with Andrew Wiggins. It's a semi-paced up game. I mean, the truth is almost every team Utah plays will be paced up because they play with Gobert on the court. They play a slower game, which if you look at their record, is not bad. They've been on a tear lately, but no complaints in that department. But I think Mitchell is the guy that is going to lead them tonight at home. Versus, again, a tire team, he'll probably end up seeing a lot more of the second unit, given how heavy the starters have played. I know Tibbs likes to play as starters, but when the guys are tired and it's noticeable, you got to do something about it.
I legit think he's trying to kill them with exhaustion.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. No. And then when he does kill them, he'll stand over their bodies and start screaming with the voice that you did.
Come on, let's go, come back to life.
We're in the middle of a game. But, so I like Donovan Mitchell. Tim Hardaway, he'll probably match up with Austin Rivers to start the game. He'll end up getting some Lou Williams on him. Hammer game, I always love the hammer games. But the total on that game is 227.5. If the Knicks are going to score that many points, it's going to be Moutier and Burke and Hardaway Jr. and, of course, some Beasley, which we'll get into. But, I mean, I like that play a lot. He's 6K, guys. He's 6,100 in the highest over-under of the night. It's, like you said, the Knicks are predicted to lose by just over 8 points, but 8 points is not a blowout by any stretch. So I think
No, not at all. And – I mean, really, could it possibly get any worse for the Clippers than it was on Wednesday night?
That was pretty bad.
Again, though, back in a back-to-back coming from Denver.
Sure. Real. I mean, and they beat the Nuggets, so props to them. Nuggets are a fantastic team. But
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, we'll go for the Nuggets. I mean, we're probably not going to beat the Rockets because James Harden is the man, and, who really can beat them besides the Warriors. But, they're like, all right, whatever. We'll just take the L against them tonight. We'll beat the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I had to give my James Harden praise, just one per pod. I'm scheduled to.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, with these Denver guys, you got Barton.
Yeah.
He's going to be...
He's expensive.
Yes. Both guys coming a better value on DraftKings. Barton, 72 on DK, 78 on FanDuel. And then Harris, 62 on DK. Gary Harris, 67 on FanDuel. Now... Harris is actually the one with a better history against Memphis, but this is a much different Memphis team.
Much different. Yeah, much different
team than these guys are used to facing. So, both shooting guard, and I remember the last time we did the pod, you rattled off the small forward numbers against the Grizzlies. So, Barton's the better guy here.
And Josh Jackson just put up 52.4 against them.
Indeed.
I mean, I think... So tournaments, I'm probably going to go all over Barton. Mm-hmm. But in cash, I probably need to go a little bit lower at the shooting guard spot.
That's your boy, too.
It is. I still don't know why they haven't put Barton at the small forward because he is small forward. But, if it's Anthony Davis, they move him around every 4 days.
Sure. They forget about these people up in the mountains of Denver.
Barton and Al Horford, who are not shooting guards or centers, are still stuck there.
By the way, speaking of Denver, there was a college football coach. Did you see this?
No.
It was a recruit, and he said, sorry, we're not going to be able to accept you to our school because we don't accept players from the state of Colorado. He said something with their drug testing is very legal, and he said you can thank your liberal politicians for that one.
Oh, my Lord.
He got fired the next day.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, he gone.
Listen, regardless of your political affiliation, that guy deserves to be fired.
Yeah, he gone. All right, back to basketball here. Yeah. Now, we just talked about Evan Fournier saying, hey, Frank Vogel loves him some. Well, his price actually dropped below 6K on both sites. Detroit, that's who's going up against tonight. Not great win defending over there.
No.
I'm a Frenchie Fournier fan.
So am I. I think he's a couple of numbers I'll throw at you here. DeMar DeRozan just put up 37.7 against Detroit, and I know because I think you and I played in a tournament where you had DeRozan that night. Batum just put up a 45.5 against them. So, yeah, I mean, it's the numbers are there, man. Listen, Fournier is not any of those guys, but he will get a ton of shots. Most of the defense will be focused on Drummond and Blake. And so I think, Drummond and Blake. So I think that will leave Fournier a little more freedom to roam on the offensive side of things. Mm-hmm. And Blake and Drummond will be focused on Gordon and Vucevic. And so, and like you said, the wing defense is just not good right now. So,
yeah, especially there too. So you look at the rest of these shooting guards, you've got, you know, your guys like Mitchell, Sweet Lou, you know, kind of priced up there near the 8K range. It's a nice discount here for Fournier, and again, you really need Fournier to have a good game, but you know, and I mean good game by like 30 points. Like if he gets you 30 points, you should be very happy with that. But the matchup lends itself to a little upside on that, and I think with Fournier, you get a nice discount compared to those other guys. I like the idea of pairing a Donovan or a Lou with Fournier tonight.
I like Beal and Fournier a ton, or even Hardaway and Fournier a ton.
Reason why we got to save, because we got some studs at small forward.
Boy, do we.
yes. Now, I didn't want to get there yet, but are there any other dumpster diving shooter guards that are a possibility this season?
So not quite in the dumpster diving, but we'll get there for sure. I think Wesley Matthews versus the Bulls is nice, under 5K. The guy plays a boatload of minutes. If he can get it going, he does more than just shoot now, which is fine. So you're going to hear a lot of about this guy. But Sterling Brown, again, comes in. At minimum price, you know, well over 20 minutes, 25, 26, 27 minutes, assuming that the guys that we talked about, Snell and Dellavedova, sit. And then if Giannis sits, which he's not, but if Giannis sits, even more so. But versus the Pacers, that are not a very good defensive team, particularly down low. But you know, Oladipo is a good defender, but I don't think you're going to see Sterling Brown see that much of Oladipo. He's minimum price. So you know, I don't expect another 10 like you game I got last time from him.
Oh God, no.
We should be able to see a little bit more. He's minimum price. It's not going to hurt you.
Now, I didn't play Sterling the other day, but I did not mind him at all. We will have to ask our resident Bucks advisor, Lois Louis, what he thinks about Sterling Brown tonight. But, again, with what you said, if Oladipo is probably going to go more to the Greek, then, yeah, that gives him a matchup against Bogey Bogdanovich. And
yes, please.
I'll have some of that.
Another minimum price guy who should be able to see a decent amount of minutes and a decent matchup is CJ Williams from the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Again, that over-under is something you want to get a part of. Second highest total on the slate to the Warriors. I know it's going to be a lot of Lou Williams and a lot of Austin Rivers, so he could be, in tournaments, a sneaky, sneaky guy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, one of the things that we didn't mention with the appeal of the Clippers, don't forget, you know, Moutier and Trey Burke among some of the worst statistical defenders in the NBA.
Absolutely. Yeah.
God awful. Oh, absolutely. My God, they are terrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as far as dumpster divers are concerned, if Norman Powell gets the start, you kind of have to play him. I don't think you have a choice. I would rather play Norman Powell starting probably over Sterling Brown, just because Norman Powell is a veteran player. Sterling Brown is a rookie. Powell can really, really score the ball. So, yeah, if I'm choosing between those two guys, I'm probably looking at Powell.
Okay. I don't know how we did it, but we forgot to talk about Devin Booker. Do you have – now that T.J. Warren is in, I do wonder if that gives him a better outlook for tonight. And I mean that because Paul George now could, you know, defend T.J. Warren. But do you think he would defend Booker? That was my hesitation with Booker, is that if T.J. Warren wasn't in, that Paul George would defend Booker. And
it's going to be Paul George. I have zero doubt it's going to be Paul George.
So then who would you think OKC
Questus
for Warren?
Questus.
All right.
Or Hustis. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I was going with Hustis.
It could be. It could be.
I don't mind throwing a little flair on it.
Yeah, I was trying to be a little ethnic there. Hustis. But Hustis, whatever his name is. So, yeah, I like playing Warren because, listen, Booker is the kind of guy there's rarely a matchup on the other end that takes me off of him, but he did get priced up a little bit. He's at 8,800 now. If that game is to stay close, we know it's going to be Booker a big part of that. But if I'm going to attack OKC, it'll be in the small forwards when we talk about. And I don't know if I can play Booker in cash. But if you're not playing Booker in cash, which you shouldn't, I would load up on him in tournaments because he's got the ability, man. And look, you mentioned who's Paul George going to guard. If he doesn't guard Booker, and Booker starts getting hot, he's going to go to Booker then. So you're going to see him on him no matter what.
Good point. All right. That'll do it for shooting guards, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank goodness. All right, let's get to the small forwards here. We got the Greek at the top. He is only $10,100 on DraftKings tonight. That is insane.
Who's that?
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now on FanDuel, he's only $11,000, which is actually a pretty nice discount to where he is too. The only guy that Indy really has that could make life difficult, and by difficult, I mean he could annoy the Greek, is Lance Stephenson. But he's got a pretty good history against Indiana. Now that last game against Indiana was he just shot terrible from the field. He only put up 34 points on each site. But again, prior to that last game, it's been pretty good against Indiana, and this price is even better.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about the matchup. I'm more worried about his ankle.
Well, it's his injury designation was I.
Yeah, I saw that. So I'll look a little bit more into the nature of the injury and kind of see what it is. If it's just the eye, I'm not so concerned. If it's something else. Because I remember a few days prior, he kind of rolled his ankle a little bit too. So I'm wondering if they don't want to lead on to what exactly is going on with him. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. The play itself, he's 11K on FanDuel, which is great for him. So, yeah, I don't mind that. But if I'm going to play one of the studs here, it's probably going to be Kevin Durant at 10-2. These two teams play at a pretty decent pace. They are fighting for the top spot with Houston right now. Houston just won, so they're gonna need to win this game. Between KD and Paul George, if I'm gonna go at strictly studs at small forward, it's gonna be KD and Paul George.
Now on DraftKings today, Kevin Durant's actually more expensive than Giannis Antetokounmpo, but just only by $100. The gap on FanDuel is much more significant. So that is an interesting decision that you'll have to make. Now, as for the rest of the small forward position,
lots to talk about here.
All right, kick it off for us because we can go in a couple different directions.
So T.J. Warren is going to play a phenomenal play. I can even stack Warren and Jackson at the small forward and not have an issue with it. In fact, be pretty comfortable with it. So I think those two guys, You don't have to play them both, but one of the two. And if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to put one of the two, I'm probably going to go with Jackson because he's, you know, significantly cheaper. Actually, not that bad. He's up to 5,700 now, and Warren's at 7,100. So, I mean, it's a jump, but it's not that bad. I'm looking at, without OG in the game, again, he probably wouldn't have guarded him, but I do like Otto Porter, particularly if Otto's going to have Norman Powell on him, who's got a significant height advantage. Otto does. Mm-hmm. I think Otto's in a really good spot there in what's supposed to be a tight game. Let's take a look at what does that spread look like. Yeah, it's a 3.5-point spread versus Toronto. So I like Otto. An interesting play, this is a tournament only for me because we've seen that the Knicks are kind of not playing some of their veteran players as much lately. But Beasley versus the Clippers. The Clippers are one of the worst defensive teams at small forward in the whole league.
Rushed.
They get destroyed by that position. And Beasley is a guy that can put up 50 in a heartbeat.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, tournaments, I think Beasley is a phenomenal pick.
Okay. Yeah, since the All-Star break, he hasn't played more than 30 minutes, but, again, the matchup does lend itself to have some upside there. And, by the way, Beasley's only 5,500 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Looking at his price here on DraftKings, I didn't have Beasley in my notes, so that's why I had to come back to him. But yeah, 5,800 on DraftKings there. So, and then, well, I'm sorry, 58 on DK, 55 on FanDuel. So, all good to me.
Yeah, one of the cash small forwards has got a really strong floor and a decent ceiling. Harrison Barnes versus the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
6,200. He's a guy you can lock in and expect at least 25, and not have to worry about it. You might even be able to get 40 against the Bulls.
Yeah, that's a really cheap price for Harrison Barnes, 6,200. Yeah. We've seen him, definitely over 7 at times this season.
I remember 75, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, like, the thing with Barnes usually is that, he doesn't hit that ceiling. Now, granted, he got overtime against OKC in that last game. But again, it's the Bulls. It's going to be more of a better matchup. More for him to do there. So
yeah, the only thing I'd be semi-concerned with, and I've got to see who they roll out as their starters, is he might match up with Nwaba. And I know, listen, Nwaba, you're thinking, so what? Nwaba is a really good defender. But not enough to not play Barnes, but just something to note.
I, in my opinion, the best value play on the board, Denzel Valentine, 4,800 on both sites. You know what's hysterical is that, like, the minutes really aren't changing that much. It, just whatever the case is, ever since Paul Zipser got hurt, he's finally, like, doing better. And it's funny because Zipser played, like, 7, 10, 12 minutes. It's hysterical how that production has rapidly shot up ever since Zipser's just not been there. I mean, maybe that's, like, the Portis Mirotić part two.
No, it would be. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, look, even though it's 12 minutes for Zipser, it still took away from Valentine. So, plus factor in Mirotić not being there anymore, plus factor in Holiday not being in the rotation anymore. Those are all things that increase his opportunity in his minutes. Plus, he's playing the Mavs. Respect for the Mavs and their organization, and their coach have been phenomenal. They suck, but they're trying, and they're close in a lot of these games. And so I think if the game's close at 4,800 on FanDuel, Valentine's a fantastic play. I do have an interesting tournament play that I want to discuss.
All right.
We talked about Minnesota, on the back-to-back being tired, going into Utah. The math and science teacher, Joe Ingles.
Oh.
I was reading something on Twitter that people always think he's a math or a science teacher, but he's becoming a great basketball player for the Jazz. But
he's also very hit or miss.
He's very hit or miss. That's why I say for tournaments, right? But the matchup leads itself to be pretty well without Jimmy Butler in the game. It's probably going to be him and Bielitsa. Bielitsa's a little bit taller, but I think I like the Ingles matchup. He's one of those guys that can win you a tournament, man. That's what I'm looking at here. He has. We've seen it happen.
Yeah.
So I like that. I still can't get behind Covington. I understand he's priced really well. Really,
price
really well.
Price is right.
But he's let us down so much this season. I'm on the fence.
I liked it more before we got confirmation that Embiid will be playing on the back end of his back-to-back. If there were no Embiid, I was ready to go there.
That's different. Sure.
The one thing you can say about the Hornets, though, is that at the 3 and the 4, that's their most vulnerable positions.
Mm-hmm.
Covington will probably get, Trevion Graham again if MKG's out.
Yeah.
That's a nice matchup.
I agree.
And the price is good, so I can see it working. But I understand your hesitation. I'm not a Bob Covington guy. I'm just not. But
I'd rather play Valentine.
And by the way, the price for Covington too on DraftKings is even more. He's only $4,800 over there. Oh, he's the same price as Valentine.
You DraftKings people.
This is what I'm saying. Where I'm probably gonna play some DraftKings tonight.
I would rather play Valentine for less. I mean, that's where I'm going there.
All right.
So another guy that I'm liking here in that same price range is Oubre. Oubre has been playing really well. He's been getting 30 minutes lately. They've been going really small. Toronto likes to go really small. Toronto always, they play Valanciunas mid-20s, 24-ish minutes.
Sure.
And then he sits, and then they go small, and they bring in, Van Vliet and the Wright and Jakob and Siakam. Jakob and Siakam sounds like a dish at like a Eastern European restaurant.
And it's a formidable second unit front court for the Toronto Raptors. How do you like that?
Yeah. So, Oubre will be needed to play. He's going to play 30 minutes in what's supposed to be a close game. I can definitely play Oubre with confidence.
Yeah, I really like that one a lot. One other one that I like a lot. So, if we think Taj Gibson's going to be out tonight, I would assume that puts a little more offensive responsibility on Nemanja Bjelica, as we called him last weekend at the live final weekend, the Pajama Monster. That's like we had about 50 different nicknames for Bjelica on Saturday. It was very impressive to see what everyone came up with.
That's what happens when you are talking about players and there's alcohol in your hand.
No, this was sober Saturday because from like 10 a.m. on, we just researched all the way up until lineup lock. So it was just, maybe it was just delusion. I don't know. Anywho, very cheap for Bjelica. $5,300 on FanDuel is a great price.
Yeah.
On the DraftKings over there. Oh, my. Like, again, he's in my notes, but I just didn't have the price from there. $5,400 for Bjelica there on DraftKings. So, again, if we think Gibson's going to be out, that's more offensive responsibility for him. And I understand this is a back end of a back-to-back, but so what? Tibbs is going to run these guys no matter what. I think Bjelica, if Gibson's out, I don't like using the word, but he could be that.
It's possible, the back-to-back makes him not as much that, in Utah, but, if there's ever a place to attack Utah, it's been historically the small forward spot, although that's changed drastically. And I think, Crowder has a lot to do with that. I'm probably not playing him even without Taj, just because I don't think it's going to be a close game. Personally, I think it's a really, really, really slow pace. Uh-huh. They've got the lowest implied odds on the board, 100 points.
Interesting.
So I'm probably going to be fading all of the Wolves today. Most likely.
All right. Well, Bjelica's still a favorite of mine. And again, I'm probably going to be playing the late night slate tonight, but. Okay. I think he's a decent option there. That's going to be my new rule from now on. I hate guys on the back end of a back-to-back except Minnesota because Tom Thibodeau does not care about their well-being.
He doesn't, man. He doesn't.
All right. And any other here at small forward? Or?
Yeah, a guy that you hear me talk about a lot, and particularly the other night where I set to play him. I'm trying to remember who I set to play him over.
Well, who is it? Maybe I could help you out here.
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. You said to play him. Boy, who is popular? Well,
Lamb.
Obviously,
Lamb.
Yes.
And the funny thing, and it was a lot of back and forth, and I didn't like Lamb because back to back going into Boston. I mean, Boston's sure. Stingy. I think Lamb put up a 14.5 and Brooks a 14.9, so it was a half a point difference. But
nice. Yeah, he did go 14.9.
But I think Brooks, in this kind of a pace. We'll see. He's probably the cheapest that I could play. He's at FanDuel is $4,300 for a guy that's going to play 30 minutes in an up-paced game. Not too shabby for me.
I know you. This is the last small forward we'll talk about, and then we'll move on. But Josh Jackson, I know you mentioned him briefly. Even with T.J. Warren in, he had some pretty good games.
Yeah.
You still like him here?
Dude, he's going full beast mode this so far. I mean, he put up a 50 the other night when I tagged the channel to make him a must play when Warren sat. He went out and put up 52. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal performance. The guy is obviously on performance enhancing drugs because this is not the same Josh Jackson that I know.
Yeah, listen, he was a lottery pick for a reason. He's doing his thing. I'm happy for him. He's a good player.
All right, let's go to power forwards here. Coming up almost, yeah, actually, we're coming up on an hour right now on the pod, so, you know, we'll try to get through these here.
Yep.
Who the hell am I? I mean, we had a four-game slate yesterday and did an hour and 30-minute pod, so. You know,
maybe it was all the East Coast accents that were going on.
A lot of the A-O's. And,
you guys like to drag out the words. Like, hey, what are you talking about? So to say the word talk for me versus you, that's like 6-7 times longer.
I hear you. It added an extra 15 onto the pod. I see. all right. With power forward here tonight, what are we doing? I mean, it's a lot of similarly priced people.
Yeah.
Got some interesting spots here, but who do you like above all?
I like Tobias Harris.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Tobias a lot. And again, second highest implied odds on a guy that has got a pretty high usage and is relied on to do a lot for the Clippers, particularly with Gallinari out again. He's going to probably have Michael Beasley on him, I'm assuming.
Yep.
So I think Harris, the 7,500, is probably your safest play there. So, from a tournament perspective, I really like going Blake Griffin here. He's at 7,400 now. He's had some really bad games. People are going to see his last thing. Oh, yeah, he sucks at. Since he's been to Detroit, he hasn't been playing well, blah, blah, blah. He's going against Aaron Gordon. Mm-hmm. I mean, if ever a time to play Blake Griffin, I think it's today.
Very, very strong take and one that I agree with. I will always attack Aaron Gordon. I have no problem with it. There were two spots recently where Melo and Ibaka both sucked against Orlando. But, again, this is more of a long-term thing. I've never known Aaron Gordon to be a good defender. I don't think he just recently, you know, picked it up. But, yeah, I like that play with Blake Griffin a lot.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, I don't mind Aaron Gordon either. In tournaments. So,
sure.
You know, he's much more of a wing power forward. Griffin is much more of a down low, although he's been stretching his game a little bit out. But, so I don't mind that play either. I typically, I'm always a really big fan of playing Draymond Green. And then you look at, you know, versus the Hawks, I'll be even a bigger fan. As usual, we're always worried about the Warriors blowing people out. And so, you know, I don't think the game's going to be very close. I'd love to be wrong because I'm going to play him anyways in tournaments. But I like the Draymond play is very intriguing. But, again, because of the high blowout risk, I know we don't predict blowouts, but I'm predicting a blowout. So I don't.
Warriors versus Hawks, really going out on a limb predicting that one.
Yeah, right? You know, and again, I know our motto is we don't predict them, but I'm predicting them. So that's why I got to, in case it's not, though, I'm going to play Draymond in a tournament. He could put up 55, you know?
Yep.
So, especially the Hawks.
Here's one that I really like, and kind of off the wall, and again, it's another team on a back-to-back and another shitty fatigue spot, but Dario Saric, right? So he did post, let's see here, 39 on DK, 35 on FD in the last matchup against the Hornets. Okay, let's say the Sixers want to be a little more cautious with Embiid tonight. I mean, it's possible, maybe not, who the hell knows. But I like the matchup anyway for Dario, and I like, you know, by the way, Jordan Clarkson, total douchebag, like throwing the ball at Saric's back yesterday. You know, if that was any other player on the Sixers, he wouldn't have done that. He would have gotten another bandage across his other eye if that was anybody else. But did you see what happened at the end of that game last night?
You know what, man? So I didn't watch. I was listening on the radio. As you know, I played Monday and Thursday nights. I played basketball. So I was driving to the game and to the gym, and I was listening. And so I get the gist of it. It's happened many times where the teams, they're up, but the game's over, and they go out and they dunk the ball, and the other team takes offense to it. You know what? If you don't like the other team dunking on you when you're losing, freaking stop him. Play defense.
Wow.
It's very simple. Wow. And I think, you know, they're so whiny in this league right now, especially that younger generation of players. Oh, why would you? Well, because you suck. Your defense sucks. You haven't been able to stop them all night long. If it bothers you that much, put your body in front of him and take the damn charge.
Bam. Life lessons handed out from the bear man, from the stream, while he's trying to go catch salmon. Look at that. All right, let's talk about some of these other guys. Now, there is some good value here. Jabari Parker, 47 on DK. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to add with Saric, too, by the way. On DraftKings, he's $6,400 as opposed to $71 on FanDuel. So
nice.
That was part of the appeal. You know, I'm still trying to deal with these asterisks here that I got. But, all right, so the appealing value to me was Jabari Parker going up against Indy, as I said, 47 on DK, 49 on FanDuel.
Love.
And then if Jermichael Green is going to be out tonight, you got Jarrell Martin, only 45 on DraftKings, which is phenomenal, but bumped up to 52 on FanDuel. And then the other one I wanted to talk about, too, was Gorgie Dang. We talked about it earlier, but Taj Gibson hurt his hip last night. Gorgie Dang, only $3,400 on DraftKings, as opposed to the $4,000 that he is on FanDuel. All great value guys right there. So I guess out of all those, what's the most appealing to you?
Well, if Taj sits, it's clearly going to be Gorgie. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't play that much last night, so he won't be as tired. I don't love the matchup versus Favors, but I think he has a speed advantage over Favors. So maybe, but if Dang does sit, I might even go run and play Favors.
Here's what's interesting. I would assume that Dang and Gobert would match up.
Could be.
And then Towns and Favors. Like, to me, especially on the back-to-back, I mean, I would hope Tibbs thinks it makes sense to put a guy with fresher legs, you know, against Gobert. I'm sure they'll switch and be on times at each other as well. But I mean, I would assume Gorgie gets Gobert. Now, if Gorgie does get this start, he's got to be looking at, what, 30, 34, 35 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a Timberwolf. That's what he do.
Well, not only, I mean, he's coached by Tibbs. I think that's the key there. But, yeah, so that's interesting. So my favorite player there, though, is probably Jabari. He's going to match up with Thad Young. It's going to be, frankly, it's going to be fun to watch. I want to see Thad and Jabari go at it. It's going to be fun. I don't like Thad's price right now. But, yeah, I think that's going to be fun to watch. So I probably like Jabari the most out of those guys. Another guy that I like here. Excuse me one second.
God bless you.
Thank you. I tried to hit the mute button in time. but I don't mind Jarrell Martin at all. It looks like most likely Millsap comes back off the bench. Mm-hmm. And Millsap's still getting his legs under him, although he looked pretty good that first game back. So I don't mind Jarrell Martin at all. He's probably going to be – if Jamike does sit, you're going to see well over 50% in cash games for Jarrell, rightfully so. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I wanted to, you mentioned Thad Young's name. I just want to mention that his price has gone up, yep, mainly due to two really good performances. But keep in mind, those two were against Atlanta.
Yeah.
Not like this isn't a terrible matchup or anything like that. But, you know, again, that's why those points inflated. He had a 30, almost a 40 against the Knicks, too, which was another great matchup.
Yep.
So, you know, that's that.
Now, tournaments.
Yes.
There's a play here that I love.
All right.
I love.
There, you're whispering about it. It must be, you must love it that much.
It's pretty nuts. I mean, I'm probably going to lock him in all my tournaments. Lauri Markkanen.
Lauri Markkanen. All right, what's the appeal here?
So he's going up against the Mavs.
All right.
He's probably going to match up some with Dirk Nowitzki. As we call him, Old Man Dirk. Dirk, props to him for being in the league for 85 years. But Markkanen's young, fresh rookie, perimeter player, can go down low, can do a lot. You know, the only real promising big guys on the starting lineup that Dallas has is Dwight Powell, who I love as a play as well.
Yep.
So I've already have one roster that's got both of those guys in it at the power forwards.
Cool. All right, I like all that as well. Anybody else here?
Yeah, we talked about Favors. Another guy that's really, really, really cheap. He's a good price. A game that we always target big men versus the Pacers is John Henson. You know, you could probably count on him for at least 12, 13 rebounds in this game. Obviously, if he gets some more points, we'll be gravy. But he's a pretty safe play for your cash games.
Yeah, solid matchup. Actually, that Milwaukee-Indiana game is pretty important in terms of the playoff race. Because I believe Indy's in the fifth seed and mm-hmm. Milwaukee's in the seventh seed, which completely blows my mind. But I mean, this is gonna be a really good game tonight. I don't think it'll be like, you got a pretty low spread on the game, and it's pretty interesting. Like the Bucks, not favorites of Vegas by any stretch of the imagination. Like I've been seeing this a lot lately from Vegas with the Bucks, but they don't get much respect at all. Like on these lines, like they're at home tonight against Indiana, only a 4-point favorite in this one.
Yeah, it's 4 points, but...
Yeah, four. And it opened up as 3, which is even more disrespectful to me. But it's just something that I've noticed that, you know, and again, like a team like the Cavs, they were only favored by 2.5 last night. So I say to myself,
wow,
that's strange, you know, and you go back and you look and you see all the games that the Cavs have been favored by that low and they didn't win. So
yeah. There
is something to this. I think... You know, by the way, like I think Indiana's in a nice spot here for some offense, but keep in mind, with Milwaukee, since the game's close, that's good for their guys too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. The thing about the Bucks is, and the reason why I think the disrespect is there from Vegas is because they've blown some games where they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
So it's just too volatile.
Or they come out on TNT and get off to a 30-6 deficit.
Something
like that.
And come back.
Yeah. God, well, way to go, Washington. And Washington's been playing well, but they were, I believe that was the night where they were tired. All right, enough about those idiots. Any other power forwards, or are we good?
Yeah, so there's one more guy that I like. Again, picking on Indy here. I do like a lot at his price, Jay Crowder.
Okay.
I mentioned it when he first got traded there. He is the absolute perfect fit for Utah. They did a really good job in getting him. They didn't have to give up much to get him. Great work there. He's 4,500. I think he sees extended minutes because, like I said, I don't think his game stays close. I think Utah spanks him. And I think this is a really good spot for Crowder at 4,500. But besides him, no, that's all I got. Power forwards.
I completely forgot to mention Pascal Siakam. I know you mentioned him briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to at least 25 FanDuel points in four straight games, at least 21 minutes, and he's got at least 29 in three of those four as well. So he could certainly do some damage against a Washington team we've picked on down low many times before.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got that. And then I know we didn't mention Ben Simmons, but nice night for him last night. You know, again, going back to a stretch of 5-7, I know you said you didn't like the pace. You know, Philly has been one of the faster teams in the NBA this season, but the fact that, you know, going up against Charlotte, again, back in, back to back, probably won't be running up and down the court.
Yeah,
so,
I'm not too in love with it.
All right, cool. All right, we are on the same page there. All right, let's get to centers here. I guess the matchup, probably the one of the better ones at the center position, two guys going against each other.
Yes.
Andre Drummond against Andre, or I don't know why, Andre Vucevic. No, it's Nikola Vucevic. With these two guys here, I get any particular favorite in that matchup?
I love Drummond, man. I love Drummond here. He's probably my lock at center.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, at this pace, man, he really thrives. I mean, he's not one of those centers that he needs the ball. So, I mean, versus Orlando, I could see 25 rebounds. So. Yeah.
What he did recently, he had like 2 real points and at some point had like 24 fantasy points.
Yeah, it was all rebounds and blocks. I mean, that's just what he does. So I'm staying away from Cat going at Utah and in the back-to-back. Really intrigued by Nikola Jokic. I'm always intrigued by Nikola Jokic. But, you know, versus Memphis, it's a semi-pace down game for them, but their implied odds are still over 110. You know, I know he'll be going up against some Gasol, but I don't care. I love Jokic.
All right, very nice. One that was, well, I'm not going to get there yet. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
We've got to talk about the rest of the guys at the top. So,
yeah.
You know, we're looking at it. Again, we like Drummond. I mean, I'm in agreement with you there. I'm trying to go here from the top. Joel Embiid, again, with the Sixers, going to be on that huge stretch of games. Not loving it. I do think the Sixers will be somewhat cautious. I don't think they're going to, like, sit him out or only play him, like, 20 minutes, but I do think that he gets scaled back to 30, maybe somewhere around there.
He should.
So that's something you want to think about. And then you got Karl Anthony Towns, who's on that back end of a back-to-back going up against Utah. Not easy, folks. Not
I'm
easy.
Staying away from both of those guys, for me.
Okay.
Nikola,
go ahead.
Vucevic is probably my second favorite next to Drummond.
Yeah, I like it.
He's 2A and 2B between Jokic and Vucevic. So, I mean, those are my two. It's funny that they're both Nikolas. So the Nikolas are in play.
Okay. Now, Marcus Gasol had that massive game last time out.
Yeah.
And then what was even better is that he called out, I guess, his teammates basically calling them G League players. I mean, I don't know the exact quote, but that's basically what it was.
Yikes.
Yeah. I think he said something like, you know, the G League affiliate for Memphis isn't right in Memphis. It's in, you know, whatever city they were. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, basically.
That's a fun locker
now,
room.
His price is up a lot on FanDuel from where it was. You know, I believe he was, 72 against Phoenix. Now he's back up to 8,500. Not as easy of a matchup, but could be without Jermichael Green, which would help him.
Yeah, kind of. I like Jermichael Green there to take off some of the pressure off him, but I don't know if I can do that versus Denver. I don't know that I can.
Very tough.
Yeah.
At that price, mainly.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. But I am interested in a priced down against a tired team, Dwight Howard.
Okay.
I think he's one of the guys that I always talk about NBA players they have a lot of petty in them. Dwight Howard is definitely very petty. And I think he and Embiid are going to get into it for who's the better big man. And we know it's Embiid by a mile. But, you know, Dwight Howard thinks he's the MVP. And he's at 7,500. I don't mind Dwight Howard at all in tournaments at all. I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah, that could certainly work. You know, you know, Embiid spent some time away from the basket. Not the greatest thing for Howard, but, you know, again, over the course of the night, I'm sure he's going to hit value in that stretch. Again, a tired team like the Sixers, not going to be as not as energetic going up for rebounds. So
right.
Could definitely take
right.
advantage of that. Again, too, if Tyler Zeller's out and if Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out, you know, that's going to trickle down some of the roster, and it should get more minutes for Dwight Howard. The reason you didn't see that last game because Charlotte was in a really – like, they're – what Philly – the stretch that Philly is in tonight, that's what Charlotte was in
right.
going into Boston that last time. So or actually, it was a 4-6, but regardless, it wasn't a good spot. And, you know, that's why you didn't see Howard crush it there. I think this is a spot that he definitely could.
Agreed.
All right. Everybody's been picking on Phoenix down low lately.
Hard not to.
Can Steven Adams be the guy?
Hard not to, yeah. I think it's in a great spot, great pace, great implied odds for the team, great opposition in the matchup. Yeah, I think Steven Adams is probably the most solid cash game player you can find at his price.
All right, cool. What are you doing with Alex Len? It's not a great matchup, but the price is pretty well.
Not
100 on FanDuel.
I'm not doing anything with Alex Len.
Nothing, huh? I mean, Tyson Chandler's. I, you know what I feel like? I feel like the guy from the Bible that makes Adam eat the apple. It's like, oh man, you know you want to do it. That guy from is his name Satan or was that the snake? I'm not sure.
You know what, man? I think it was Satan in the form of a snake. But
all right, see, that's impressive. Right there.
I think he fouls out and gets into foul trouble in the first, like, 5 minutes of the game guarding Adams. And I think Adams will eat his face. His children. I can't play Len. Not against Adams. I just can't.
All right. Let's try to entice you with something else then.
Are you going to go to your favorite name in the whole league? I think you are.
I don't know. I'm just thinking. What you probably, if I bring it up, I was gonna say. Oh yes, I know who you're talking about. It is the Toronto Washington game. But I think you got three decent options at the center position. Hell, even four if you want to get real crazy in GBPs. But I really like either Jonas Valanciunas or Gortat. Gortat's price is insane. He's 4,700 on DK, which is whatever. I'm not big on it there. But on FanDuel, he's only 4,100 bucks.
4,100.
It's got a decent history against Toronto. I mean, yeah, he's like basically free at that spot.
Wow.
You know, if Gortat's going to be playing, let's see, he's projected for 23 minutes, which I don't like, but. Against Valanciunas, he's going to be busy. The two of them are going to be busy in limited minutes.
Free square.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Now, Valanciunas is 6,200, so that's... Now, here's where it gets interesting, Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it gets interesting. 6,200 on FanDuel for Joe Val, 5,300 on DK for him.
Yeah, see, that's a fantastic price. So... I can get behind that, but not on FanDuel. I got to pass on FanDuel.
So it's interesting. So Joe Val for DK, Gortat for FanDuel.
Yeah.
For FanDuel.
Exactly right. So a couple of other names to mention here. I definitely like Miles Turner at 6K versus Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a great, great tournament spot there. I don't mind... Gortat at all at 4,100. I think that's an easy play. I mean, I don't mind that at all. This is the first time I'm going to say this and probably the last time, but this is the one time I actually don't mind playing Felicio.
Yeah, not at all.
At 4,100 versus Dallas, I think he can definitely, at least he can hit value. Doesn't have tremendous upside, but he can at least hit value.
Sure, Dallas, worst rebounding team in the league. You know, just absolutely brutal down low. Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
And then, again, too, we didn't even mention my favorite name, but Jakob Poeltl from that Toronto-Washington game. We know what he did last game. It was magical.
It was.
Jakob Poeltl was actually the last name that I mentioned on the podcast, if you remember.
I do.
But, yeah, I just had to give myself some credit there. Yeah, I mean, look, he's certainly an interesting spot. Will he go for 40-plus again? Probably not. He's been doing pretty well even before that 40, so
yeah,
it's certainly not a bad value option.
It's either him or Muskie.
Muskie.
Which, you know, versus the Warriors, faster
Mikey
pace.
Mikey Muscala for everyone.
Yeah. I've got a really crazy tournament play.
All right.
I'm almost wondering if I should just keep it to the Slack, guys. What do you think we should do, Al?
Let's leave it to the Slack. Let's tease the people.
All right.
Let's do it. All right. That will do it for today's podcast. If you want to join the DFS Army, you can do so. DFSArmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. Me and Bear on the pod tomorrow. We were in talks for a Sunday podcast, but we got to get it cleared with Mrs. Bear, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's another tease out there for the people. Any final words going into tonight's slate?
Any final word? Yeah, this is a type of slate where you can go out there and play a mixture of cash and tournaments. Go heavy on the cash. I think with some of our plays that I'm going to put in our write-ups in my article notes tonight with our domination station combined, I think we should have a killer night. So go Army, and let's make it happen today.
Indeed. All right, so for me, Bear, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
We gone.
All right, man. I'll talk to you here in a little bit.
You got it, man. See ya.
All right, later.